something we heard quite a bit the other night.
Yeah.
Music to our next guest's ears as we return live at the Paul Bear Bryant Award at the Post Oak Hotel here in Houston. Sean Pendergast, Rich Lord with you. We're at the Devil's River Whiskey Broadcast Desk, and fantastic to be joined right now. It's becoming a tradition because it feels like he's here every year. He's a two-time winner of the Bear Bryant Award, and he is now a two-time national champion as well after Monday night and the win over the Alabama Crimson Tide. Dabo Swinney, head coach of the Clemson Tigers, joining us on the show right now. Coach, welcome to Houston.
Yeah, great to be with you. I recognize your voice now.
Okay, there you go. Yeah,
yeah, I gotcha. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So let me start off with this. If Deshaun Watson is Michael Jordan, as you said, who's Trevor Lawrence?
Oh, I don't know. That's to be determined.
Okay.
You know, he's still got a little work to do, but he's pretty dang good, though, I'll tell you that.
You went from Joe Montana to Steve Young.
Yeah, they're pretty special.
Yeah.
They're pretty special. Yeah. No doubt about it.
Talk about his performance on Monday night, just what he was able to do against that Alabama defense.
Well, you know, there was a lot of talk going into the game, and, you know, he's a freshman and all this and that, but, you know, I'm like, he's played 14 games. He's not a freshman. I mean, this guy is – And for us in college football, when you get to about late October, early November, and you're having the type of season we're having, every week is monumental because it's a playoff game. You lose and you're out. And, you know, so he performed great. He got better and better as we went down the stretch. But on the biggest stage the other night, he showed what he's done all year, and that is poise. His coolness under pressure. When you play Alabama, there's a lot of pressure. He made some unbelievable throws. He had a couple guys make some great catches for him. Our offensive line did a tremendous job with no sacks against that defense. And then just his leadership. You know, he just inspires everyone around him, and that's what the great quarterbacks do. He just has such great knowledge of our system. A lot of people talking about he was going to be confused and this and that, but, you know, he practices against a great defense every day and sees a lot of looks in our league. So I was really proud of him, but really he just did the things that he's done all year the other night.
To get to the level your program has attained, obviously you need great players
sure.
to do so. But I thought over the course of this season, you don't win in College Station without Kelly Bryant, right? You don't win against Syracuse without Chase Bryce. It felt like over the course of this 15-0 campaign, there was also a next man up sort of mantra delivered to your team that you never know when you're going to be called upon, and you better darn sure be ready if I do need you.
Yeah, well, the other night, Trayvon Mullen went out of the game, and Mark Fields came in and made two of the biggest defensive plays of the night in coverage. So that's just how we are. I mean, you know, we don't sit around and pout over who's not there. We get excited about who is there and take advantage of your opportunity. You practice, you're in the meetings, you're at Clemson, you're good enough. That's what I love about – we got our first team meeting this coming Friday, and I can't wait to reset the room get the kind of chart the course for this journey, this team. And it's a new challenge, new faces, new opportunities for some of these guys, new people coming in to join us. So it makes it fun, you know. I mean, our program is bigger than any player, any coach. And, you know, if you're going to be consistent as a program, you've got to be able to develop guys who aren't playing. So when it becomes their time, hey, they're ready to step in and go.
I'm not completely familiar with the recruiting calendar and the live periods and the dead periods.
It
and so
never
forth.
Ends, ever. It's 365 days. You got the calendar. It's called August, September, October, November.
Well, since you said that, can you use a trip like this to make a phone call here or touch base with somebody else there?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can text the seniors and juniors unlimited right now. So we can text they can call us anytime. But I think any time that your brand is somewhere, it's a good thing. I'm assuming we're not on some AM station in wherever Texas. I mean, I think you guys pretty good group here.
We got some listeners.
So
we're doing okay.
You know,
yeah.
so there you go.
Yeah.
So you know, we're talking about Clemson football.
Yep.
And I that can't hurt. That's for sure.
Are you an emoji guy on text?
Oh yeah, I'm a big emoji guy.
What are your go-to emojis?
Fist bump.
Yeah.
thumbs up.
Thumbs up. The red 100.
I'm a big smiley face guy.
Oh yeah, of course you are. We saw that on Monday.
Shocking.
Yeah. Dabo Sweeney joining us on Sports Radio.
I like them animated ones too.
The GIFs.
Yeah. those are fun too.
They are when
I get a good one.
Dabo Sweeney joining us on the Triple Threat here on Sports Radio 610. Coach, for you personally, you won this award twice back in 2015, 2016. It feels like you're here every year as a finalist. I think you have a great shot at it tonight, obviously. You're a guy who grew up in Alabama. You're a walk-on player at Alabama. What does it mean to you personally to already have your name a couple of times, maybe tonight and who knows down the road, to have it that many more times on an award named after Paul Bear Bryant?
Yeah, it's just surreal, and it's – it just every time I've been here a few times, and just to be a finalist is such a blessing, and it's amazing to me to have the opportunity to win it. That's just the cherry on top, you know. I mean, just the fact that you get your name associated with anything Coach Bryant is special. It also means that you had a great year, because this is a pretty swanky joint they got here. They don't invite you to these parties unless you had a great year.
Yeah.
So and that means you were surrounded by some good people. So that's what it means. But then personally, it's just unique for me personally, because you know Coach Bryant was my hero, and to this day he impacts my life. You know, by how he lived his and how he used the game of football to make a positive impact on his community, his university, his players' lives, and I try to do the same thing.
As special as Alabama is a place and a school in your heart, obviously, that all is put aside when you play a game like you did on Monday night.
Yeah.
Everyone on the planet has weighed in on this one, and I'm sure you've been asked this as well, so indulge me. The fake field goal. What were your thoughts when they came out on the field? How soon were you guys anticipating that this might be a fake? And in hindsight, looking back on the decision to fake the field goal, what did that say to you about where Alabama's mindset was at that point in the game?
Honestly, going into the game, one of the things that I put in was I wanted to shift our guys. And so we were shifting late to just because you got extra time and they got a lot of staff and they're studying you and looking at us, I felt like, you know, we weren't multiple enough. And, you know, you don't see a fake field goal often, but if you can get locked in on somebody, you've got opportunity. And so we actually put in what we call, it was just we made a call, but we tagged it with a shift call, shift two. And so they shifted late. And I don't know if that messed up their blocking angles, but we were just really trying to talk them out of a fake, and just maybe a little movement up front might talk them out of maybe what they had schemed from an angle standpoint and so forth. But maybe that affected the blocking for them. But I wasn't surprised, and we talked about it when they were going out there. You know, let's be ready for a fake right here. You know, they were having a hard time getting the ball in the end zone. They moved the ball. They got some good yards on us and hit a few big plays. But they were having a hard – when the field got smaller, they were having a hard time getting it across the line of scrimmage. And so, and then with what we were doing offensively, you know, same thing. You go back to the first year, you know, we be honest with you, that might have been our best team. And we had an opportunity to win that game, but the kickoff return for a touchdown – And then they kicked that on. They scored and then kicked that onside. And I think one of the reasons they kicked that onside is they were having a hard time stopping us that night. And it was a shootout, 45-40, I think, was the score. And that was the difference in the game. So it felt a little bit the same. We were starting to get in some rhythm and move the ball effectively. And we liked our matchup on their secondary. And we felt like we could protect. And we gave up no sacks. So – you know, I think all of that, just them trying to create a spark or whatever. And you know what? If it works, just like when they kicked the onside a couple years ago, they kicked the onside. You know, they're, and it works. You know, it's the greatest play in the history of mankind. But if we'd have gotten that ball, they'd be having the same conversation. What was he thinking? You know, this, and that. And as a coach, you know, sometimes you have a gut and you make a gamble, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Coach, I know we want to ask you about a couple of these Houston Texans that are also Clemson Tigers. Last thing about the game, what did it feel like to go on a 10-minute drive at the end of the game that started at your own one and didn't even cross the goal line at the other side. It just ran out the clock.
That was probably the most gratifying part of the game, to be honest with you. Not many people have asked me about that, but it's the longest drive in Clemson football history, 10 minutes and 2 seconds. And because as a coach, you're playing Alabama. I mean, these guys are explosive. And, you know, you just never feel like you have control of the game. And, you know, you think, oh, score, kick an onside, get it, score. You know, you're sitting here, you're doing the math in your mind. And for us to get the ball at the half-yard line and to keep it for 10 minutes and 2 seconds, that was the will of our team. And that's everything about our program. Trevor made a couple of runs to keep it going, but literally 10 minutes and 2 seconds, and we you know ended up taking a knee there at the end. But
yeah,
it was special. That was a special drive that I'll never forget.
Based on what you've told us in the past about Deshaun Watson, I'm guessing it came as no surprise to you that despite a broken rib and a partially collapsed lung, he rode a bus from Houston, Texas to Jacksonville, Florida to play a football game.
Yeah, I talked to him during that stretch. That's just who he is, man. He's a competitor, and you know he's going to do anything and everything. I mean, you're looking at a guy he played with a torn ACL to beat South Carolina, you know, in 2014. He walks into my office, says, "Coach, I can play." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You can't play?" And he's got the trainer with him as his ally. Well, we could put a certain brace on him to kind of support. I'm like, you people have lost your mind. And he's like, "Coach, I can play." And well, he threw for 200 something yards, rushed for over 80, I think, in that game. And the rest is history. Had surgery the next week on a torn ACL. But that's just kind of how he's wired, man. He's a special, special player. He was able to play all year and to get to the playoffs, get the experience of the playoffs. I know the game didn't go the way they wanted, and they had some tough injuries to go their way, and there's some areas that I'm sure that they want to improve in, but man, he's off to an unbelievable start in his very, very short career, and you best believe that this experience from this entire season will serve him well next year and the Texans.
Well, there to that end, there is a he was at the game along with DeAndre Hopkins on Monday.
And Carlos Watkins
and
Reader.
And Reader. They were all there.
They all came out.
So the four horsemen of the Clemson Tigers that are on the Texans were at the game. So I feel like there's nobody better to refute this tweet that's been a topic of conversation on our station today.
Uh-oh.
A guy named Patrick Bet David, the entrepreneur he calls himself out of Dallas, tweeted this about – he retweeted a video of Deshaun on the field that ESPN did with the championship hat celebrating with his family, his Clemson family. And he tweeted he tweeted that Deshaun is on track to be the Dwight Howard of the NFL. You're celebrating 3 days after losing to the Colts as the starting quarterback. The pain of a loss in the playoffs can't go away that quickly. There's something wrong with this picture. We've all tried to refute it today, but I feel like there's nobody better to ask than Dabo Swinney to refute that notion of Deshaun Watson.
Let me tell you, I have no idea who this person is. Well, I don't even know his name. I wouldn't waste any more breath refuting that. Listen, Deshaun Watson, he just needs to keep being who he is, and don't worry about it. If you sit around and listen to people like that, man, you're wasting a lot of time.
Right. Some talking head in Nashville also called him out for his outfit for the coin toss.
Hey, that comes with the territory, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, he ain't worried about that. You know, you got to have thick skin, and there's going to be criticism when you're successful. There's criticism when you're not successful. You just stay the course on the things that you believe in and enjoy the journey, you know. And, you know, this just like for us the other night, that was a great moment. It's just part of our journey. It's not the end of the life. It's not the end of our life here. And you know, you move on. And for him to want to come and be there for his team, I mean, that's special. And we had about 20 former players there, not just Deshaun, but, of course, that's who's going to get the headlines for whoever this person is.
Right.
You know, they're going to throw his name in there. They're going to throw all them other 25 NFL guys that were there. They don't throw them in there.
No.
Well, it's pretty obvious, Coach, that you've been recruiting a lot of special guys to the program for a few years now. And I wanted to ask you about that. I read something, and maybe you could confirm this. I read that when you guys voted for team captains before this season, 26 different players got votes.
Yeah, well, we vote. I do the captains on a weekly basis, and then at the end of the year, when we get into bowl prep, the team votes on the permanent captains, and we had 26 guys of our senior group get votes for captain.
That's amazing. That's
and then we do an award, the most inspirational player award. We'll do that this Saturday night at our banquet. But we just voted on that. We had 34 guys get votes for most inspirational player.
So you got a team full of leaders.
Team full of leaders, man. I mean, it was, and I've said that. I've been around some unbelievably impactful young people as individuals, but collectively as a group, the depth of our leadership was amazing.
Well, yeah. Kudos to you for being able to identify who those guys are and who those guys aren't.
Well, my philosophy is to recruit people first, players second. Mm-hmm. Hire people first, coaches second. It's just what I believe in, and we've been able to recruit a lot of great young men that fit our culture, and that's why we've been successful.
It's been a joy to watch the Clemson Tigers, who've come here to be Houston Texans, do their thing for sure. They all fit what you were just talking about, Coach, and congratulations again on being a finalist here. Best of luck tonight, and congratulations on a phenomenal season. A perfect season, the
Thank
first
you.
15-0 season in FBS history.
Yeah, I think they said that there was one in like 1894.
Yep.
Penn.
The first one in the last two centuries.
If you didn't throw the ball forward, that don't count. I'm just saying, if it wasn't a forward pass going on, you didn't have to defend no pass.
The ball was shaped like a pumpkin. It didn't count. Yeah.
Well, just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll have these conversations every year here in
Houston. All right. I look forward to it. Thank
you. Coach Dabo Swinney joining us here on the Triple Threat.